This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Then basically gave like a Suge Knight. Yeah. Like a Suge Knight.
He was so... He like,
you want to come to death row? Right. I was right about this, right. And I was right about that.
He basically just took over the mic and looked at the fans and did his own show.
It was unreal. He pulled a Steiny and just turned into villain mode. It was great. Honest to God, I loved it.
Coach Buck came through in the last
Coach
hour.
Coach Buck. I got to hit Buck him came up, through by the way.
In the last hour, which is great. So let's go to Adam in the city as he wants to talk a little Niners and Doobies, man. It was a lot of fun Friday, man. I had a blast.
What's up, Adam? Why weren't you there?
I was seeing my girl down in Santa Barbara, so that's where I'm driving back from now. But
not in Detroit.
I was tuning in, and it was a great show. I wanted to clarify a couple of things just real quick. Number one, I was never the guy to call in to imitate Willard, so let's just get that off the table. Then number two, I've only called into Willard to Dibs once in 6 months, so I haven't jumped ship, guys. Like, your guys' show is my show. But I just have a question for you for the Niners for next year. How are you going to feel about Shanahan and Lynch in sense of assembling the team if we go into next season with McKivitz and Brendel still starting? Because I have a feeling that's going to happen.
Well, I don't know. Let's wait for it. Let's see if it comes to fruition, Adam.
McKivitz, I'm more lenient on, but Brendel cannot be your starter heading into
next year. I don't think Brendel and McKivitz. I think you have to upgrade the entire offensive line. That's where I'm at.
Well, Pooney's been pretty good.
Pooney at right guard. Yeah. Trent at left tackle. And the other three spots I need to fix.
You think Trent's for sure coming back?
Yeah, why wouldn't he?
He's older.
Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing before Trent went down
He is like an older player.
So that's the
thing. I know he's got
Trent.
A lot of money.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money on the table, and I don't think he wants to go out this way.
Well, that's
I really
point.
Think. Okay. This guy's been playing football. He's been playing football his entire life. I don't think he wants to end it this way. And two, the rhetoric I hear about Trent not being so good this year, well, again, Jordan Mason, if he wasn't good, Jordan Mason would be leading the league in rushing at one point this year.
He was
doing it for a long time.
Yeah, but Mason, to be fair, if we're going like advanced numbers, he also was very high up on like after contact lists.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well.
But think about when he was getting that contact. You know, he was making things happen. So, by the way, 650 just reminded us, don't forget about the Talking Heads segment. The improv there with the Talking
Heads.
Did
you like that? I didn't know. Did people like that? That was a total impromptu.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure the other host at 95.7 The Game did not like it.
No, honestly, when you guys did that, that might have been one of the high points of the show. Steven Rizzo was telling me it was his favorite part of the show. Like, that might be a thing that next year we have to incorporate into the show.
See, what did the other show say about the Doobies? They say anything about it? I was kind of tapped out.
I listened to Guru
gave us some love.
Yeah, I listened to the first few minutes of Steiny and Guru. They're like, hey, that looked like a great party. I assume they mentioned it after that.
Steiny hella jealous?
I don't know.
Doesn't surprise me.
I didn't hear anything that Willard and Dibbs said about her in the crowd. I assume it was a talking point on the station. I can't tell you
so
what was
here's
said,
what
though,
I would say about the Fatheads. I want to do it with the host at the station. But I also think we need to do it with athletes. I liked when PTI used to do it, and they'd be like, oh, who am I? I'm Jonathan Taylor from the Indianapolis Colts. Or now Walker Buehler, who signed a one-year deal with the Boston Red Sox. Walker Buehler. So I think we should do more of them and have a ton of fat heads here in the studio.
Sure. We don't want to turn it to a fat head segment, though. But I'm with you. It was a lot. That was a lot of fun.
Just called into a talking head segment.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, no. I've tried to jack a lot of things off of PTI before. That's why we got the fat heads here.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, we tried to decorate the studio. And I'm like, Matt, get a Farhan fat head. Like, I want fat heads of the characters that we talk about. Farhan Zaidi. You know, who? Brendan Podzimski.
I heard that the Farhan fat head's filled with nothing but hot air.
Ooh, wow. Damn. Wow.
I mean, when you're going to Will Clark, it's like no one believes you, Farhan, that you didn't come up with the specific day-to-day lineups. No one believes you. You only hired the guy who would do exactly what you wanted him to do in Gabe Kapler.
Let's go to Manny on a Dumbarton Bridge, who we also got to meet at the Doobie Awards. He put his plate down to get on the microphone And it was actually the shortest call he's had in 2 years. I was actually disappointed. I was like, Manny, you were 30 seconds and out.
What's
you went
up,
back,
Manny?
Straight back to the plate.
I appreciate you guys, man. Hey, the food was good. I can't complain. I'm sorry, guys. And I didn't want to, you know, take up your limelight because that's your show, bro. I mean, that whole setup was pretty doggone fun, man.
Cool.
I enjoyed it. I hope I come through one more time. I told you, Bonte, just like George Kittle, I'll be back next year. I'll be back with a vengeance. That's what he said. I'll be back next year with a vengeance. But hey, man, it was a great time, and we have to come on a Monday and talk about the Niners. I mean, Bonte, if you listen to all my takes all year long, I always question their heart, and it's not about the talent, it's not about the personnel, it's not about everything. It's the will to win. And yesterday was just another game where you guys showed me. It's like, you know what? I understand the injuries. I understand the frustrations. I understand the setbacks. But through it all, man, a team has to find a way to win. And this, if it's not one thing, it's another with this squad. And Purdy, I'm going to reserve my judgment on him. It's getting real close to teetering on the other side of the needle where I'm looking for something better. I mean, I can't stand those game-ending picks, man. I mean, if you look at the standings, how close were we to even getting to the offs? I mean, if you look at where Seattle is, what Arizona is, if we just had a little extra oomph somewhere along the line, we'd be right in the thick of things right now. As it stands, the year is what it is. Yeah. I appreciate you guys, man. I got to get to business here in a second, but thank you again.
See you, Manny.
It was great meeting up. Listeners and everyone.
Yep. You too, Manny. Great to meet you.
That game was sitting on a platter. It feels like a lot of them have this year, and the Niners have failed to grab the steak and the knife and the fork and just take that protein. The Brock Purdy thing, this is just where I fall down. He'll probably be on the team next year, and he's probably going to get some sort of a pay increase that he's deserved. He could play for free next year. I have to bring someone in to push him. I'm not saying to replace him. Because I don't know. I don't know if you could find an upgrade. I really don't. Because I do think he's a good player. I don't know where he falls. I don't know, 11, 16. I don't know where he is. But, like, to me, he could play for free next year. So remove the money. I got to draft somebody. I got to bring in a competent backup or someone that I think can push this guy because I don't think this year was good enough.
Right.
And I view it just like I would any other position on the team. Like, he's been good at times. He's been bad at times. I'm always looking to upgrade.
Honestly, wonder how many people want to move on from Brock Purdy. Just flat out move on. How many people want to flat out move on?
Well, here's
from
the
Brock
hard
Purdy
part when
because
you say
I know,
that.
Because a lot of people, do when they're going to see, no matter what, if they see $40 million, they see $50 million, they see $60, they're going to think that a lot of people, I believe, are going to say it's overpaid, Jimmy Garoppolo all over again. I'm thinking to myself, boy, I've seen a lot more from Brock Purdy than I ever saw from Jimmy Garoppolo. I've seen it at the highest moments. Brock Purdy doesn't shrink to me. But decision-making this year has been a problem. We think of the Arizona game. George Kittle, you're looking for him. Ball gets tipped, it gets picked. You lose the game. But also Jordan Mason fumbles inside the 10. But the Kansas City game, you underthrow George Kittle and Jacob Cowing for touchdowns. You settle for 3. And then, of course, you throw the bad interception to Ronnie Bell. Like, you can't overlook that. You can't overlook the second and 11 against Seattle, where Deebo Samuel runs the end route. You got to hit that throw instead of airmailing. Then you have to punt the ball back to Seattle. So he hasn't been great this year. There's no doubt about it. But I just wonder how many people just want to simply move on from Brock Purdy.
That's a great question. The fourth quarters have just been so perplexing because you're referencing all these moments in the fourth quarter. Just the last 2 weeks, you had 10 days in between these games through basically game-losing picks in both of them. And it felt like in both scenarios, he's driving the ball down the field unnecessarily. Like, there's no need to force it. You're not down multiple touchdowns. You still have time on the clock. You still have a good down and distance. You know, so yesterday, it's first down. Like, yeah, would I like you to layer that throw over? Yeah, for sure I'd like you to hit that throw. But simultaneously, you take the sack there. It's not the worst thing in the world. You do have 3 timeouts. You're at the 50-yard line. You know, you did have 2 guys underneath that looked like that you could throw to on the checkdowns. Like, I said it in the text thread, like, when they went to the 2-minute drill. I'm like, guys, they have so much time. You don't need some crazy throw down the middle of the field.
You know, sure, he could have hit the checkdowns there. But I think if he doesn't get hit, he may make that throw. That's just my opinion. I could be dead wrong. I could be dead wrong there. But he gets popped. Ball has no steam on it. He's looking for Juwan Jennings. We've seen Brock Purdy make that throw over and over again. So you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in AC1 San Francisco, in Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Richard Sherman and what he thinks the Niners need this offseason to improve and get back to the playoffs.
That offensive line needs to be the number one, number two, and number three priority this offseason. If you're going to pay this quarterback all the money you're going to have to pay him, you want to keep him upright so that he can be the playmaker that he has been. This year, he's been under a lot more duress. He's been using his legs more. He's had to leave the pocket more often than not. It hasn't been great. And without Trent, it's looked even worse. You need a right tackle. No ifs, ands, or buts. No discussion. No nothing. A right tackle. You need to figure out a center, maybe in the second round. There's plenty of them in the Big Ten somewhere to find them. Maybe one in the SEC. And then maybe find a guard in free agency. It looks like you have one in Pooney. Put a competition out there at left guard. And I know you can't just draft them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But that's what I would do. We're going to hit on one of them.
That's Richard Sherman. And offensive line play. And we're going to watch the playoffs coming up. The playoffs are coming up. And you look at the playoffs in college football. What is help Penn State? And Notre Dame, and Ohio State, and who's the other team? Texas. The trenches. You have to have the trenches solidified in these moments. In December football, and when you head to January, your offensive line, the defensive line needs to be buttoned up. And right now, there's no doubt the trenches of the 49ers is lacking.
Who are the two best offensive lines in the NFC?
Right now, Detroit. Detroit's got a great offensive line in Philadelphia.
It's like, yeah, that's like no... There's no one that's arguing anything otherwise. Saquon Barkley said, it's the best offensive line I've ever played along.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's going to go for 2,000 yards.
Right? So,
I mean, Minnesota's offensive line is holding up. They made the deal. Give Minnesota credit. They're my dark horse in the NFC. What a game for Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson to win that game in Seattle. But what did they do? Darius Shaw gets hurt on Thursday Night Football against the LA Rams. They say, damn, this season isn't lost. We got a great shot to go to the Super Bowl. They go out and trade for Cam Robinson to Jacksonville. All right? So the offensive line play, and right now the Rams, their offensive line and their defensive lines are dominating the trenches. They dominated the Niners trenches last Thursday.
Chargers had an opportunity. Everyone said, oh, they're moving off all the receivers. Yep. They're going to take a receiver. Who'd they take?
Joel. Notre Dame. All offensive linemen.
And that's Harbaugh. This brings me back to Shanahan. Because Shanahan has said over and over, him and Chris Forster, well, we don't really like, you know, paying linemen outside of the best one in Trent Williams. We like to develop them late in the draft. They're going to have a philosophical change in terms of how they do business.
Absolutely.
Because that really isn't, that hasn't been one of their operating like ideals.
No, it hasn't been good at all. Let's go to.
And I got some Shanahan numbers I do want to run through with you at some point.
George in the jungle, what's happening?
What's up, George?
Gentlemen, good to listen. Been away for a while, but I'm back. I got to tell you, this team has lived and died on its defense for the last decade or two. And they've died a lot, and they're dying right now. And the reason is, look at the two DCs prior to, or the two DCs prior to the last two. They had life. They were jumping up and down on the sidelines with the team. They were injecting life into that defense. And I look at Sorensen on the sideline, he looks like a dummy. He looks like he's just standing there and, you know, this is what's happening. He's got no emotion. He's got no charge. And this defense needs charge, and it needs to come from the top.
Well, their personnel isn't good
either. Next year with Sorensen.
Would you agree that their personnel isn't good? Like, for example, they played Devondre Campbell all year, and I know D. Winters was hurt at the beginning of the year. You couldn't play D. Winters?
Well,
he looked okay to me.
Well, D. Winters got hurt yesterday, so... Number one, he can't stay healthy, but also, if we're going to be hyper-focused on Purdy and what he can and can't do, where's my highest-paid defense player of the year, player in the league, Nick Bosa? Where is Nick Bosa?
They said his name once, and it was talking about his dad.
Where is number 97 at? Number 97 continues to underwhelm. Continues to underwhelm, folks. 97, Nick Bosa. Where was he? I'm looking at the stat sheet right now. Bosa. Final defensive stats. Bosa. Okay, oh, wow. Two tackles. Two assists. One tackle for loss.